every Monday.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and we are excited about our fellowship this morning. We have completed one of our books, the Supernatural Transformation of the Heart by Guillermo Maliato. And because we finished it, we wanted to review it today and then get an insight into our next reading and fellowship assignment. And so one of the things we wanted to do today was to review and get some of the major points that were brought out in our reading as it relates to how to have the heart of God. So we don't want to read something and then move on and have not gleaned some of the treasures that's been in the writing. These are, I believe, inspirational writings from individuals who were anointed, and it's to share with the body so that the process is perfected and so that we can have the joy and the victory that is ours. And so even though we thought we would go into the next book of Count It All Joy, we chose not to do that one. And so the book, well, we'll talk about the next book, but we want to look at this book. So one of the things that came out of this reading was the fact that we were to get promises, promises that would equip us to surrender to God's hand on us, promises that would equip us to surrender to God's hand, because there's always going to be a crisis of belief as he invites us to join him and he shares his plan. It's never going to be the way we think it should be, and as a result, it will challenge what's inside of us, the tradition, the social mindset. It will challenge those things. And in that challenge, we need the word of God, the truth of God, to set us free from that mindset. One of the things he did talk about was having a new structural mindset, a mindset that was framed by kingdom principles that are available in, obviously, the word, but in the Sermon on the Mount. Christ was quite specific about what our mindset should be, even though a lot of it was addressed in our actions. You know, if someone hits you, turn the other cheek. If they ask for something, you give them that and more. If they want your coat, you give them that. If they wake you up in the middle of the night for food, you give them to them. Actual physical activity. But he also expressed what our mindset should be. So he said, blessed are those with a pure heart. Blessed are those that are meek and humble. Those that are seeking after righteousness. So those aren't physical activities, but they are spiritual mindsets that are to be developed within us so that we are in harmony with heaven on earth. And so that's one of the things we were encouraged to do, was to get our scripture for that. And then the second scripture, I don't know why I can't remember now. Anybody on the line? What was the second scripture? I think was something as it related to David, because the author shares in the Bible says that David had a heart after God. And so we wanted to look at his characteristics, his life. What was it he did? What was his mindset? What was his activity and behavior that set him apart from everybody else? And so as we looked at those scriptures, we did indicate, we did see some of the great character traits that he did. So, getting started this morning. Your scriptures. We'll start with our scriptures of promise.
What did you say, Minister Paulette? God with what?
Our scripture of promise that will help us.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You just kind of go in and out a little bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
My scripture is from Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it.
Amen. And how does that equip you in your crisis of belief?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, how does that help you through your crisis of belief?
It helped me through my crisis of belief because I know that God is a man that shall not lie, that will not lie. And, you know, just through life experience down, you know, through my life, I've seen him, and I know he has done things, and he hasn't changed. So that helps me to, you know, stand on his word, because if he did it before, he'll do it again. And if he doesn't, he's yet able.
Amen. 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 Another half of scripture for us. Okay. I'll do mine from Ezekiel 36:26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so that, for me, took some of the burden off my shoulders, because the Lord is saying, I'm going to do this for you. So I have to understand it's not anything that I can do. This is something that has to be divinely orchestrated in my life, and it has to come from heaven. And the fact that God said, I'm going to make that commitment to you, and I'm going to do it for you. And so that kind of takes off a little of the pressure. It gives me a place of confidence, as you were saying, because God isn't a God that will lie. And not only that, he said it, so he'll bring it to pass. And so his word stands true. And definitely he is a man of promise and faithfulness to it. And so all of those things then reveal to me as we go through this process. And as I go through the crisis of belief, it keeps revealing to me, first of all, different names of God, because he's able to do this, he's able to do that. This name of God is, you know, God is a those names that I can't pronounce, but they are the characteristic traits that bring about the power of change in our life. And so then we get to know more about him, more of his character, a clearer picture or a bigger picture of just who God is. And when we see that, everything really pales in comparison. And so the fact that he shares that he's going to put this new spirit and a new heart, you know, lets me know that there's two things, the spirit and the heart. And we looked at the spirit as being the identity of an individual. It's where your throne of your life is, and who sits on it will dictate and be the evidence by the way you think and your emotions, and the rest will affect your actions. And so this whole, I want to say train of thought, but this whole journey through the elements of a human being has already been, I was going to say dictated, but he's already taken care of it. He's already worked out the strategy for it. He knows what it is. He knows how it's going to look, and he's going to do it. And so just the confidence that I have to have, that I have in him, because the more I learn of him, the more impressed we are of who he is and the different things that he does. And sometimes we don't even consider them. But when we consider it, it's one of the songs that says, when I consider all the world that thy hand has made, all of the worlds, it's just incredible. And it actually is almost beyond our understanding, especially when you see the different things that's in the ocean and in the different types of bugs and animals and trees and flowers and plants and grass and everything, and each one of those worlds he created. And then he didn't just leave it. He maintains it. He tends it. He establishes it. He watches over it. And then he gave us the responsibility to have dominion and power. And we're supposed to be doing those things to some of the worlds that he has made. And yet we don't even have a clear understanding of what that looks like, because there's so many things that God has done that we're to be doing, in that we were given charge of it in the garden. And we have really very selfishly decided we didn't really care about the other worlds around us. We just cared about ourselves. And so we went about doing that which seemed right to us. It seemed will work for us. If it kills an ant, we didn't care. You know, if it messed up the environment, we didn't care. You know, if it chopped down trees, we didn't care. We wanted the wood or whatever. And so we really weren't, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do any of those things, but we do them very irresponsibly, because we just did not understand our position and the fact that the earth groans for us to wake up, so that we will take care of it, so that our dominion over it will be perfected by God. So that's my scripture. I guess kind of went kind of far, but anyway. So anybody else? Is there another?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
I guess, and fellowship family, my scripture is Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, and thy thoughts shall be established. And I don't know, it's just pervasive probably for everything. I think as it relates to the heart, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead, but, you know, in reading this book with all of the different things it talks about, the offended heart, the broken heart, you know, all of those kinds of things, that when we find ourselves in a place where we feel stuck and can't move forward, that if we remember that the Lord has promised, if we commit our works to him first, no matter what that is, our life, our ministry, our health, our education, you know, whatever that may be, that he will establish our thoughts. And when our thoughts are established by him, obviously they'll line up with the renewing of the mind, because he's establishing the thought, you know, and there's no variance in him. And, you know, we can have the success that we need if we trust and then obey, because, you know, it's always the choice. He gives us the information. He gives us the leading and guidance, and we have his word. But, you know, it always goes back to the choice. But just knowing that he has already declared that if we would only submit, that he would tell us how to order our affairs, you know, that he orders our steps. And I'm using that synonymously with establishing our thoughts. So that is that's kind of like my life verse.
Amen. And can I share your reading on that? Would you mind?
Sure. No.
Because I think it's very, it's wonderful, and I think it ties in, and it's what we, these are the things that we pick up along the way that as we share them with others, just as powerful as it is in your life, it can become, that insight becomes powerful in ours as well. It says, Jesus Christ has saved us by his amazing grace, that we might be his witnesses unto all the men. Do you want to read it? Elder?
No, you can read it because I don't have it here, so I don't know. I'm not sure which thing you're reading, so I don't, I'm not.
Oh,
are you reading what I sent you recently?
Yes, yes.
Okay, no, you can go ahead and read it because I'd have to find it.
Okay, it says, he has sent us forth into the world for the building of his house, which is the church, the ingathering of his sheep to build his kingdom. He has provided us with everything needful for the work, and we take what he puts in our hands, our talent, our money, our time, our life, and devote it to his own pleasures. We are alive in everything else, excited about everything else, and devote ourselves to everything else except the cause of Christ in our day. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. What do you get for, let me start a minute. What do you get for our love of the world, for our devotion to it? We eat like kings and never have enough. We drink and gorge ourselves and remain hungry and thirsty. We buy the finest clothes money can buy and want more. We save our money and can never save enough, putting it into a bag with holes. Haggai 1:6. We run every man after his own thing, looking for much, it becomes too little, because God blows it away. Why? Because God's house, his cause, God's worship, is despised and rejected. Haggai 1:9. We crave satisfaction, but seek it in the things of the world. We find nothing but thought in our soul. Consider your way. The Lord, our Heavenly Father, dampens our enjoyment and fringes them with sorrow to expose our evil, to get our attention, to draw our hearts away from the world and remind us of, that's a big word, I don't know what that means, bounteous blessings of his grace upon us, to bring our hearts home to Christ. I just love that. To bring our house, our hearts home to Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So, oh, my brother and sister, we are pilgrims here. We should use worldly things as wise pilgrims, like things to help us make our journey through the world. So long as they help us forward in our ways, we should make use of them and value them accordingly. But when we become troublesome, when they become troublesome, hindrance and cumbersome burdens, we would be wise to throw them away. Samuel Rutherford warned, do not build your nest in any of the trees of this forest, for they are all marked to be burned. I love it. This is Cherish Christ. We have that upon which we set our hearts, but there is something better to set your hearts on than this world. Christ is better. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Teach us to live, oh God, for eternity, discovering Christ day by day. Very powerful, you know, insight to redirect and refocus our thinking as we go through the journey and understand the nature of all of the elements And so just sharing that, just wanted to share that because there's so much actually anointing on this line of individuals that you have. We want to hear it, you know, and we do. We want to glean from it. That's what makes us a fellowship of one another. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Your scripture. Okay. Well, then we will go into your chapter from the book. Who will be first? What was the most impactful chapter from the book? And if you have more than one, that's fine too.
Members of Ballet, when you said write a sentence for each one of the the index, how can I say
the content?
Yeah.
Ma'am,
uh-huh.
I thought you just wanted a sentence. Did I misunderstand?
I
said when you said write a sentence for each one of the what is it? Content. You just wanted a sentence, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. From
I don't know. If you want to share them all, if you want to share them all, that's fine. But I don't know if maybe people will want to share their favorite one. Okay.
Oh, well, I didn't think about a favorite. I just went through them. Okay. Well, for matters of the heart, I said, when I was thinking about it, the word that stood out was matters. And so I said that which is the subject of concern, feeling, or action pertaining to or between you, God, or other relationships, because, you know, there's so many things that come up that affects relationships,
mm-hmm.
not only with, you know, our Father God, but family, sisters and brothers in Christ, our leaders, and et cetera.
Amen. All right.
Understanding the heart, I said, God calls my heart to become pure and complete, filled with your God's nature and character as it was to be from the beginning. So some of them just, when I looked at them, just became a prayer request from the Lord. The functions of the heart. I will guard my heart in order for Holy Spirit to reprove me, convict me, and prompt genuine contrition and a sincere desire to change for the better in my service for and to my God. Heart of stone or heart of flesh. Father God, where there is a lack of spiritual discernment or sensitivity, or deficiency of understanding in relation to spiritual truth, circumcise and transform my heart.
Mm-hmm.
5, healing for an offending heart. Father, if I'm spiritually and emotionally immature, I ask forgiveness even now.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom from a heart of unbelief. Lord, help me to receive a clear understanding of your principles for receiving healing in every area of my life. The obedient heart, the exercise of faith under submission to God, the Father, and with the anointing of Holy Spirit to surrender our own will to carry out the will of God. The heart surrendered to God, dead to self, and daily surrendered to God. The broken heart, an opportunity to return to God and or to know Him in a deeper way, which brings about the transformation of our heart so that the image of Christ may continue. Supernatural transformation of the mind, coming to know what, understand the original design God had for our mind, then comprehend the nature of that transformation we must undergo. Our heart after God's own heart. Transformation is required to obtain it. Transform my heart, O God. Conform to religion or transform by His presence. Father, help those who have seen, heard, and experienced the power of you, Father God, even me, but have not allowed it to have a lasting effect on them. That's it.
Amen. Oh.
Amen.
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 Excellent. Anybody else? Next. A wonderful review. This is our book review. Next.
Chapter five. Oh, go ahead,
okay.
Minister Pat.
Go ahead, honey.
Okay, I was just going to say chapter five was one of the ones. I mean, the book was powerful just in general. It's one of those that could have another reading for me, you know, just in general. But chapter five, healing for an offended heart. And it wasn't so much the healing part that stuck out to me. It was just the way he was explaining and breaking down the offended heart. And and when I was looking at that against what he talked about with a broken heart, and when he was talking about the Greek word that was used for offense in the Bible, and that it sometimes it's translated as scandal or trap or stumbling block, and usually in that context, that is Satan that is working actively against the people of God to entrap us, to seduce us into something else, to, you know, those kinds of things. But what another thing in that was that when he used the example of John, when John was upset, you know, and the disciple said, are you the Christ, or should we be looking for another? It talks about the word offense being used as displeasure, and that was more Christward, you know. And so that was really kind of eye-opening to me, that when we aren't satisfied with whatever the Lord is doing in our lives, you know, that displeasure is really an offended heart, which is sin, you know, because we're basically saying that there would be something better than what it is, you know, that he's requiring, or what is better that that he is instructing us. So that, I thought that was just very interesting. And then the whole idea that he talked about, that we are offended in our hearts, we are not offended in our minds, and that kind of jumped out at me as well, because I'm thinking, no, you know, somebody does something, says something or whatever, and when you're thinking about it, but, you know, this author is saying, no, that's not really where the offense is really happening. It's happening in your heart, you know, and just going on to talk about, unintended offenses and, how things manifest that we might not necessarily be looking at it. You know, he talks about that the offenses are inevitable because we're in a fallen state, and that everybody is going to offend at some time in word and in deed, but that the offenses are instructive to us, because if we are offended, that it is showing us that we are spiritually immature, because usually the root is bitterness or pride. So, you know, he talks about that we can take that and use that as an opportunity for good, you know, if we basically, like, if we check ourselves, you know. But he was saying so many people live in, like, a perpetual state of offense because they won't let things go, you know. Even if we're justified in feeling offended, holding on to the offense is still sin. Somebody can do something that's wrong and bad and all those kinds of things, but we can't hold on to that and make that our stance, because that still becomes sin, because there has been a remedy for us. And, you know, obviously we need to forgive, because that frees us up, you know, and puts us in a place where God can use us, that, that, you know, when we are offended, that the anointing is off of us. God can't use us in a way that can be beneficial for the kingdom. So, you know, just that whole idea of holding on, the root of holding on is, you know, immaturity. So, you know, it's just kind of eye-opening, you know, and some of the accounts that he had I could relate to, and some of them I really couldn't, because, you know, I'm not a pastor. He talks about, you know, different size churches and all that kind of stuff. But just even things as simple as, he was saying one of the congregants was offended because he didn't pray for him personally. The pastor didn't pray for him personally and sent another minister to pray for him. And, you know, and the man eventually told him that, you know, and sometimes you just really don't know how actions are affecting other people. But I think what I got from that was that we need to be going through a checklist for ourselves. And whatever it is that is causing us distress, whatever we are offended by, that we need to really look and ask the Lord to open up and open our eyes so that we can move beyond that. Because otherwise we're just stuck, and there are going to be opportunities that we miss, you know, because we are offended. So that was the one that really just, you know, that really stuck out to me. The healing of an offended heart, that, you know, and for all of us to know that there is healing available, no matter what the transgression was, no matter what somebody did to you, your family, your friends,
right,
your, you know, whatever, that there is
right.
a remedy.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, that's where we need to be walking, that we don't get any brownie points for, gosh, that was so horrific that happened to you. You know, it's like,
right,
yeah,
right.
But look at what they did to my son. So, you know, I think we just have
right.
to keep it all
yes.
in perspective.
Wow. Amen. I was reminded of an incident, and just the last thing that you said, the fact that whatever offense might come our way, you know, God's response to it is going to be, you know, it's not greater than what they did to my son. And so when that realization really strikes our heart, then we get to a different place, you know, a place more, I'd say, of humility and of repentance for thinking, you know, oh, woe is me. And most times we're offended, which is what I realized in that chapter, not for me, not so much from people, but from God. You know, because we, you know, why did he do better? You know, why is he working this way? You know, just we question, because we, you know, actually we're taught to do that. And my mind was the chapter on unbelief. But I just wanted to, just that last thing, you know, all the things you were saying, that the very thing is that no matter what, as it relates to sin, Christ endured it. And so that's good. You know, anything short of that, the Bible says you have not suffered until the shedding of blood. So, that's great. Next. Who's next? Your most impactful.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Yes, mine was the obedient heart, and submitting and not walking in my will, but God's will, crucifying my flesh and totally surrendering to Him.
Okay.
But the offended heart, okay. I don't know. I overseer.
Oh, okay.
Overseer.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't even have my book or stuff.
Chapter 7.
Okay, in fact, okay. I apologize. I just got bad news that my cousin had been shot in the chest and killed. So it just, I'm just trying to deal with that. But the offended heart was the next one. The offended heart was the next one that I had, and that was I asked God. I don't know what chapter that was because I don't have my book with me, but and my notes that I had written down. But I had asked God to show me everything that was not like Him, and to show me myself. And I didn't like what I saw. And this was months ago, but even in those months, even in now, you know, He has taught me and shown me so much. But then He also, in the offended heart, He showed me I had so much bitter and anger and unforgiveness and hurt and rejection and shame and doubt and all those things. And with that, I couldn't continue. Like that, I had to move, and everything I needed to deal with, take layers off. It was like that onion that we used to do as an apostle used to do as an illustration, and to take those layers and what that looked. So He brought me back to from that book of supernatural transformation to Search for Significance, and dealing with every issue, and it has truly, I'm not that same person I know I was, but every day He's working in me and crucifying, and my flesh is dying, and learning and letting pride go, and learning how to not just give, but when someone want to give you to receive. And I never used to, I just felt like I wanted to always give, and just had so much offense going on as far as if somebody did me wrong, they needed to hear about it, and I was going to tell them, and I was going to, you know, and now I'm learning whether they offend me or not, just walk away or don't say anything. And it reminded me, and I can speak this because it was real, how when one time I was in a psych ward, and just dealing with issues. And throughout that, there was a lady who I never will forget her. She made me write anything I was dealing with, whether rejection, hurt, pain, whatever, and a death, a situation. She would have me write what I was feeling, emotions, the whatever, and assess the situation. Then she would ask me to read it out loud. Then after I read it out loud, deal with the, you know, emotions of it, and then let it go. Every situation I had to do like that. So recently, as I was moving, unpacking, I felt a lot of this, and it was a transformation even in that, and journey. But I say all that to say offense. I had so much offense. And so much anger and unforgiveness. And you can't move in the direction God wants you to move. Your prayers are blocked. And it's like a wall there. And when you totally surrender to God and you let go of all those things that you know have been keeping you from moving forward because of that, it makes a big difference. Where you don't have to. So that's all I want to say. It's just been a blessing.
Amen.
To supernatural transformation.
All right, well, we're going to have Elder Roberta. If you could offer up a prayer on behalf of Minister Pat and that family, it's not just the family, but the process as well.
Oh, Father God, we come before you even now, bringing Minister Pat and her family, Father. Father, we ask even now that you extend your hand of mercy and grace into the families, Father God. Your word tells us that you are the comforter, Father God, and you sent the comforter, Father God, to comfort, to strengthen, Father God, to encourage, Father God. Father, I ask even now that you comfort each one heart, the mother, the father, the siblings, the aunts, the uncles, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I ask even now, Father God, that you manifest yourself unto them as never before, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, they need you even now. Father, they have many questions, Father. But, Father, we know that you are able, Father God, to answer those questions in your timing, Father God, and then comfort them, Father God, even now, in the name of Jesus, as that you encourage and strengthen Minister Pat, Father God. Father God, remind her that the joy of the Lord is her strength, Father God, even now, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her, encourage her, Father, even now, in Jesus, that she may be encouragement unto them, Father God, that she may be able to minister unto them, even in her sorrow, Father God, by your strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. Oh, Father, even now, we ask, Father God, that you open up the family's heart, eyes, and ears, Father God, to your understanding, Father God, and use this situation, Father God, to bring them even closer to you, and not just closer to you, but bring them closer to one another, Father God.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, even now, I ask that you bring the love between them even the more, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for it even now, Father God. We thank you for dispatching your ministering angels amongst them even now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we want to encourage everyone that one of the things the book points out, too, is that we have to get to the end of our flesh, the end of ourselves. And sometimes it's one devastation after another until we get to the place where we understand our only hope is in God. And so there's so many things that have a priority that we're not aware of. And when those things are challenged, sometimes it feels like the world is coming in on us and, you know, does God really love me or am I being punished? But there's no condemnation in those that are in Jesus Christ. And I believe that as we get to the end of ourselves, I believe it's one of the chapters, I can't remember now which one, but that's the only way and the only time he's able to then step in and start our transformation. Because until then, we're still bits and pieces of our own self are in there, and that enmity between us and God. And so those things must be so that we get a clearer picture of the eternal and of who God is and what he intends for his role in our life to be like. Right? So we thank God for those trials, those tribulations. We thank him for those offenses. We thank him because they teach us, like she shared, something about our own self. It's not the other person. It's rarely the other person. It's us. And it's something that's in us that God wants to perfect. Okay, anybody else? One of your chapters.
Thank you.
or just one of the thoughts that you will take away from this book. And I know there are many, 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 many things. My mind was unbelief. And just to understand that we're taught unbelief. You know, and so there, you know, even the scripture we know, you know, Lord help my unbelief type thing. We read that scripture, and, you know, but to understand where it comes from, we have been taught unbelief. Our culture and our mindset elevate reason above God. And it's not that we, I want to say outwardly think it, but it's a mindset. So it's just a natural thought that has to be eliminated. It has to be replaced with the truth. Many people have made reason their God, and we're taught to do that. We're taught to think a thing through, reason it out, you know, make it make sense. You know, we're taught, that's how you succeed. That's how you build, you know, a career that we're really taught to. Some churches teach this unbelief of the supernatural. My grandson went to a church and they didn't believe in speaking in tongues anymore. And so some of the things that are unbelief and doubt is a part of the culture. We're taught that, and if we don't receive the truth, then we take them off because we don't know. And for him, he didn't know. He called. He said, well, that ain't right, is it? You know, and I believe there is something within all of us who have the Holy Spirit that will warn you when it isn't. But sometimes our first response is to just listen to leadership. Okay, and so just that whole area of unbelief and the fact that I think the most powerful statement for me was unbelief is the highest expression of disrespect and dishonor toward God, because when we refuse to believe him, we essentially are calling him a liar. And that makes you in a place that, God, I know I don't want to be ever again. You know, but it's the highest form of disrespect and dishonor to unbelief. And it's like, well, you know, I'm just having a hard time struggling with that. But that's not the highest form of disrespect and dishonor towards God, because we are refusing to believe what he says, and we're calling him a liar. That reminds me of that I think it was a play that, you know, your arms are too short to box with God, and yet we all try. You know, it's like that whole visual is laughable, and yet we try. And yet we try. Because we're taught, we're raised, society and the social environment teaches us, especially in this country, you know, that we're the most important thing in life, and we're captains of our own destiny, and, you know, we can, you know, build whatever we want to do, anything we want to do, and, you know, and it puts the glory on man and not on God. And so a lot of the children, you know, this is how parents raise them, you know, to be this mindful of their accomplishments. And so as a result, when those accomplishments are then challenged by the word of God, it's like, oh, wait, you know. And then there's sometimes the what people do is then end up saying, well, that was for the Old Testament, or that was for then, that's not for now, and, you know, that sort of thing. But we have to really be careful so that we make sure that we hear the voice of God and that we obey and that we honor it. And so that's one of the things that this transformation cannot happen unless we honor the voice of God. So, anybody else?
My chapter, I didn't do it the way you said it, I guess. But
okay.
Chapter nine.
Okay.
God is the Father of all good, all good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. I put that with the one where people are unbelief, you know, that they don't believe in God, you know. And sometimes I believe that maybe they've had such a hard life that, you know, even from childhood, you know, they've never known God, you know, and that kind of was to me kind of brought out in the book also, where, you know, some people just don't know, you know, and so,
right. Yeah.
Or they're even if they do, they feel that, you know, God just doesn't, you know, love them. But I really just think that you know, to speaking with people and talking with them, just letting them know about God's word, you know. So.
Amen.
That was it.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Wonderful. We're going to all get our sea legs, okay?
Okay.
It's wonderful to share, because there's so much in everybody. A perspective we need to see from different angles, from different positions, because otherwise we get tunnel vision. You know, we don't see the whole, we only see the little piece of ours. And so we need to be able to hear someone else's. I think that's wonderful, a perspective from where they sit. And so I thank everybody for sharing, for even being honest about, you know, the process, because it says, the Bible says, to confess your faults one to another. That's what it says. And you know, the fervent prayer of the righteous will avail. So it's something that we're supposed to be doing in a community setting, in a ministry of one another, so that we're all edified and we're built and we're purified in our emotions, because we understand the realness of things. So the spiritual reality that we're living in is greater than our physical reality. Okay? So I do want to thank everyone for your faithfulness to this study. I just enjoyed it. So now for the next book, which I'm trying to bring up, and I am not doing a good job at it. But the next book we're going to be looking at, the author is, and I will, I don't know if I can text everybody, because I don't have all the. Well, you could call me. If you call me, then I can text you back, and I can put you on the text, we call it train or whatever the thing is.
Okay.
So that we can all get our book. It is the book by, the author name of the book is Mike. Messed his name up now. Hold on. You can get it at Amazon. It is Audible. Let me see. It comes on Audible. It comes on, what do you call that, Kindle?
Kindle.
And you can get it, you know, obviously you get the book. Okay. So, come on. Oh, I didn't miss it. Shoot. Oh, shoot. Okay. The name of the book. Is Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results. Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results. The author of the book is Mike, and I'll spell his last name, is C-H-R-E-V-E. That's C-H-R-E-V-E. Okay? So that is the author, Powerful Prayers for the Supernatural Results. If we're believing in the supernatural transformation, we're believing God's supernatural transformation. There's two books, and that's one of them, and I believe the next one we're going to do, and you'll see it when you go to get this book, is 25 Powerful Promises from God, for God, for supernatural transformation. 25 powerful promises from God. Proclamations for supernatural transformation. So I feel like both these books, I was really torn. Do this one, though, do that one, though. I don't know. So this is how I decided. I'm going to tell you about both of them. I encourage you to get both of them. Because it's taking this study we just did, supernatural transformation, and it's giving us tools. Mm-hmm. And one of the tools that the book we just finished indicated we needed was promises to stand on. And so this is a book with those kinds of promises that proclaim supernatural transformation. And then the book that is Powerful Prayers for the Supernatural Results. So it's like a combination of things. And so I think that I haven't seen the book. I have the one book on audio. And I think it's not, they're not real thick. And so they're not, you know, 40 pages or, you know, like 10 pages a chapter, nothing like that. And so I don't know if we can do it simultaneously, but I do want us to have both books so that if that's what needs to happen, you know, we're all set to make it happen. Okay, so as I said, it comes in, you know, you can get it used from, you know, $7 for both of them each, or brand new is $10 for the one and pretty much $8 for the other. And it does come on Audible, so if you got Audible, you can use your points, and it's free, and you can download it, and it comes on Kindle. And so it's available for everybody. So those are going to be our next two books. Okay, any questions?
You say the spelling is Z-H as in Harry, R as in rabbit, E as in elephant, B as in baby, E as in elephant?
No. Okay, hold on. It is S as in Sam, H as in Harry, R as in Robert, E as in Eve, V as in Victor, E as in Eve.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. And you may have one of them, because I do believe we were given one of these books during a conference or something, but can't find mine, but it really, when you see the covers, it looks really familiar. But anyway, so that's our next offering, okay?
And he's the author of both.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Oh,
and
he's
the
author
that,
of both books?
Yeah, he's the author of both books.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'll text. Oops, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I'll text you. I do use my landline when we're on the phone, so I don't.
Oh. Okay.
So, but I'll text you and give you I can just give you my phone number.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Okay, not yet. Hold on. Okay, let's get a piece of paper. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, 773-802.
Wait.
773-802-8742. Mm-hmm. I was thinking when you text, you use a phone number, not the email. So, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, not the phone number I have,
773-802-8742.
Right. Correct? Okay.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. So
okay.
I'm going to try
Thank
to. So is everybody else on the line? Is these your phone numbers? That can receive texts. Oh, I'm sorry. Pastor, forgive me. I didn't put her on speaker. Oh, dear.
Oh.
Hello, Pastor. I'm sorry. So I definitely will try to get this. Oh, it's your last three digits. I'm sorry, 3311.
Oh, that's my landline, Charlotte.
Oh, okay,
Charlotte
okay.
Howard.
Okay,
that's my landline.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right then. So I will get this text to you guys so that we can start our next week, which will be October. This month, this year is zooming by. Yes, the whole year. You know, in the old days when I worked, I used to say, 10 paydays till Christmas. Now it's like, it ain't but 3 paydays till Christmas. Oh, my God.
Okay.
But we thank God. Hallelujah. We love the Lord. All right, then. So do have a blessed day. Enjoy the Lord.
Okay.
Worship. You're so worthy of our worship. You're so worthy. And Elder Roberta sends some really powerful songs. I don't know how you find those songs. But I'll try. I don't know if it'll work. But I'm going to try to attach them to the text so that you can listen. Because I don't know how to go buy. I would go buy them if I could find them. But I can't find them to put them on my computer so I can play them. But they're in the phone. So it is wonderful to have a worship regimen, things that you're able to do. And anointed music really will take us into the presence of God. And it is the most powerful, I think, method of pushing out the world, once the music, you can really get, caught in the word worship of the music and the words. So we just thank God for all of the resources that are being made available so that our journey is a journey of joy and of victory and overcoming, and so that the world will know, and they'll have an answer too for their problems, because there's darkness and they need to see a light. Amen. Amen. So God bless you.
Amen.
God talk next week. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.